So, Kurt, thanks for the high tea help. All right. Now that we're recording. Okay, do we have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda?
I'll make that motion to adopt as presented.
I'll second it, Ben.
All right, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No? Okay, approval of minutes from December 9th, 2020.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Awesome. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. All right, public appearances. I did not get any. Brad or Sean, did you get any?
Did not.
I did not.
Okay, moving on to number four, new business, discussion and action, Webster Avenue corridor study.
Thank you. Just recently, I had sent out an RFP to a number of consultants to put together a scope of services to evaluate Webster Avenue from Holloway Avenue North to the village limits. This is being done to look to see how we can improve the functionality of the street, make it more inviting to pedestrians and bicyclists. As a result of planned and future developments along that segment, the objective of this study would look first at how much traffic we have on Webster Avenue. It would include traffic volume counts, two different locations, and to pick up the morning and afternoon turn movements at four intersections, and possibly look at traffic in and out of three major generators on Webster Avenue. After we've collected the data, we would then move on into a conceptual phase where we would look at different roadway alternatives. With the traffic known, we would look to see how can we improve Webster Avenue to meet the objective. And again, it's to make it more inviting to pedestrians and bikers, to add amenities such as benches and landscape planters, provide the inadequate terrace width between the back of the curb and the sidewalk. How can we achieve that in limit impacts to the outside of the roadway? We have to, in order to build that, we have to work on the outside. But what can we do to the existing roadway? Can we narrow lanes? Can we close median openings? Can we minimize the median width, the island width? Once we've developed a number of conceptual layouts, we'll at a high level put together cost estimates. From that, then we would hopefully from that we would have a preferred option alternative, and then and take that to what they're calling alternative refinement task, where they actually lay the roadway out, more or less the horizontal layout, come up with a refined estimate. At that point, we would hold a public meetings up to six to get input from businesses and property owners, village residents, to hopefully get some direction on how they would like to see us proceed. So that's the intent. It isn't cheap. The cost was included in the packet. This, keep in mind that what we were provided from R.A. Smith, we had received three proposals, and we had scored those based on experience and qualifications and price. We had selected R.A. Smith. In front of you is the draft copy of the proposal. The cost to do this work is estimated at $61,000. This is just a draft because before we proceed with, before we finalize this, we'd like to sit down with the county and gain input from them. From that, this will get refined, and at that point, with a final proposal and scope of services, take it to the village board. So, what I'd like tonight is a recommendation to the village board to approve R.A. Smith's proposal to allow us to take the next step, to take this to the village board, but contingent upon gaining input from the county, and that input received will revise the scope of services.
So you did get three proposals?
We did, yep.
Did we go over that in previous months and I'm just not remembering?
No, we did. I did bring that to the committee, or to the Public Works Committee. We had received three proposals. We had received a proposal from Grafe, one from AECOM, and then R.A. Smith.
Did Greg do the last one?
Grafe had, yeah.
Is that 5 years back, give or take?
Give or take, yes.
You know, Grafe had, their focus was more so on the outside of the roadway, and what we had, I guess, what the village was looking for those amenities. They had provided a conceptual layout, indicated the amount of right-of-way that might be needed to achieve the desired outcome, which was to, you know, create a more inviting and friendly environment outside of the roadway, proper terrace width, sidewalk. Then, you know, take it beyond that. They didn't put together a cost to do so. And I think their plan had looked at the entire corridor from Alloway Avenue to the project limits, just short of North Village limits. This is taking it one step further. This is, okay, we have an idea of what we would like. Now, let's get the traffic. Let's get the traffic data and look to see what kind of changes can we make to the existing facility to create some space within the existing roadway footprint to avoid having to impact the properties, to avoid to minimize impacts to properties, and to avoid right-of-way acquisition. This is what the traffic is. This is based on that. This is what is warranted. Okay. With the traffic known, can we close these median openings? Can we narrow the island west, the median west? Can we shorten these turn lane, left turn lane west? What were some of the other? Can we narrow the lanes? Right now the existing lanes, it's a 5-lane facility with 12-foot lanes. The county's pretty rigid on their standards. They, you know, they want 12-foot lanes, and we're hoping that we can, with the traffic data suggests them, I think we can get by with 11-foot lanes, or maybe we don't need 5 lanes. Maybe it's 4 lanes. Maybe it's, hypothetically, it could be a 3-lane section. I don't think we'll do that, but this is to take the work that Grafe did a step further.
Okay.
I like the idea of getting more pedestrians out there. And the thing is, with cars and with speed, they've proven that if you narrow them, the cars slow down. And one of our issues with pedestrians on Webster is the speeding that happens on Webster.
You know, anything we do out there will be extremely expensive. It's a five-lane roadway. Right now, with an 80-foot right-of-way, and that right-of-way extends from back of sidewalk to back of sidewalk, and that sidewalk is right up to the back of curb. And if we don't do anything to narrow the roadway, we're looking to purchase right-of-way, which can be expensive. I'm hoping that we can make some small improvements to create some space so that we can work on the outside and not have to buy a ton of right-of-way.
I would hope that's our end game.
One of the things that should point out that the section that we're concentrating on falls within the TIF district, which also falls within the project plan when the TIF was created. So we're working.
Is there enough money in the TIF to fund this?
Yes, and it's identified as a project in the TIF. So.
And Brad, correct me if I'm wrong, the TIF would pay for the study, you know, and that will play a factor into the to end result. The TIF has so much money available for this improvement. Based on X amount of dollars, we'll probably possibly narrow this improvement to a couple blocks on Webster Avenue. From St. Joseph Street North, just say to Garland or to Cole.
I would hope to at least Webster Avenue Market, because there is a lot of people walk and bike from up to at least Wham.
Yeah, we've got a placeholder within the TID. Expenditures of $5 million earmarked for this project. And we
is
need
there any county money and or grant money potentially? Or is it pretty much our own TID?
Pretty much. We've been told by the county that beyond what they've scheduled in their capital improvement plan, which is a concrete pavement repair to this segment of highway. In the segment in this particular case is from 172 north to the village limits. They're 2022. They're proposing a maintenance project, and they're hopeful with that they can get another 12 to 15 years out of the pavement. So they're right now they're with some maintenance, they're not interested in any kind of wholesale improvements to the segment of roadway that we were looking at.
So
what's out there? Sorry, go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to say, so it would seem prudent that we would go ahead and do this study before they come in and try to repair parts, and then we have to redo it and whatever.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Go ahead.
I make a motion to recommend to the board that we do this.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Kurt. All right. Any more discussion?
So we got pricing from two companies, and one of them had a proposal without a price. Is that correct?
We had received prices from three consultants.
How did you go about selecting this one?
We had formed a committee of three, myself, Brad, and Trevor. The consultants had prepared proposals. We read through them. We scored them based on experience, qualifications, how the proposal was written, availability, and price. And we factored that all together, and the three of us, it was unanimous. It was to go ahead with Ari Smith.
What attributes did they have that the others didn't?
They took the time. I don't know if they drove up or if they'd gone on to Google Street View, but they took the time to study the area in question. They called and asked a lot of questions, and they put together a great proposal that addressed our desires, our needs.
Yeah. Good. All right. Any other discussion? And Ted, are you still with us?
I'm here. Yep.
Okay. All right, good. I just never know when there's a phone, kind of who's there or who's not. All right. So we have a motion. Hearing no further discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? None? All right. Motion passes. Item number 5, consultant selection for the Libel Street project.
As you know, we've received a surface transportation block grant for Libel Street. This is just an update on this project. We had received a state municipal agreement last summer. Right now, I've prepared an RFP. It's been sent to the DOT for their review, but the RFP is to hire a consultant to do the preliminary and final design for this project and prepare plans. I'm hopeful that that we can quickly select a consultant and get started with the design, with the topographic survey being done this spring. Construction is scheduled for 2024. So I put together an RFP that was included. I just sent that out today. This project is 1.6 miles in length. It extends from Highway 172 north to Culp Street. South half of the project is being scoped as a reconstruction, and the north half a rehabilitation type project. This RFP would get sent out to the village's established consultant list. It is comprised of 13 consultants. In the near future, I'll be forming a selection committee. As of right now, Brad and myself are on the committee. DOT requires that there be 3, and I'm just curious if anybody on this committee would be interested in scoring the proposals. If not, then we'll work internally to find that person and score the proposals. This is a federally funded project. Qualification based selection process. Price is not involved until after we've selected the consultant. That comes at a later date. So anybody interested in being part of this scoring of these and ranking of these proposals?
I don't have tons of time, but go ahead, Jim. What were you going to say?
I said, Kurt, you're right around the corner there. I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah, I've had a few experiences with a stack of proposals 14 inches high trying to get through them in a couple days, but if you can't find someone, I will.
Okay. I will tell you that in the RFP I indicated no more than 8 pages.
Oh, great. So. Good to know. I gotta use that one.
And the cost of it eventually, once you figure out what it is, be part of the $5 million plus budget?
It's included. You're right. It's a $5 million project, and we had received federal funding for the design.
Nice.
I've never heard of an RFP that does not include price.
Yeah.
or even have a price until after it's awarded. That's new to me.
Welcome to federal government.
Yeah, we have to be careful. They won't include it.
No. Wow.
I think, Ted, were you also interested? And you might have got cut off?
I'm more than happy to, but honestly, I'm probably even better if others are interested. Please okay. Put them ahead of me. That's fine. I've got plenty going on.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with schedules, so.
Well, it's not like I'm looking for stuff to do, but.
Well, we're going to send it out to 13 consultants. They don't have availability. They won't, they won't submit a proposal. I'm hoping to gain a lot of interest. We'll see. But the time frame would be to send out these RFPs Monday of next week and request that we have that they, if they're interested, to send a proposal by the end of the day on the 8th of February.
Is there kind of a, based on your experience or whatever, kind of a rule of thumb that an engineering firm looking at a $5 million project could guesstimate whatever percentage, that's kind of what it'll come in the 5% range or 10% or 2% or is it just all over the board?
What they'll do first is, after they've been selected, we don't even the DOT will determine the fixed fee for this project.
Correct.
Oh.
And then based on we'll sit down with the DOT. It's my understanding this is my first time through the process, so we'll sit down with the DOT, the selected consultant, and we'll develop a scope of services. From that, the consultant will determine the level of effort, and there'll be some negotiating, and the DOT will review it, and hopefully we quickly come to a contract.
Sean, I know several years ago I wrote a grant, feds funded, and there was two parts to the engineering component. There was one, the design, and two, construction oversight. Is it still the same way, or is the contract that for the design include construction oversight?
No. Good question. The design contract would not include construction oversight. I'd have to look to see if the grant had covered that expense as well. We would, at some point, we'll have to go out with another RFP to hire a consultant to help with the oversight.
You may want to double check to see how the grant was written to see if that also is eligible, because you got the Davis Bacon reports, the white sheets that you have to provide, all that information needs to be on site the whole time, daily inspections, logs, quantities.
Mm-hmm.
It's very intensive, and
there's a lot of red tape you have to jump through.
Yes,
it doesn't make you feel comfortable. That's for sure. You got to follow these steps, and you have to do it right, or you could jeopardize your funding. So this is step number two in this process, or three in this process. The first step is to submit an application, and the second step is to sign a state municipal agreement, which we've already done, and now this is step three: hire a consultant to preliminarily design or to do the preliminary and final design and prepare plans for the project. bid the project, roughly speaking, January of 2024. And then you're right, then at some point we'll have to hire a consultant to assist with the construction oversight. And off the top of my head, I think the state municipal agreement, the funding did include construction oversight, but I'll double check on that.
Okay.
This is just an update. I wanted to let you guys know where we're at.
So you need no action from us?
Nope. No action needed.
All right. Item number 6, purchase a leaf vacuum unit and use DePierre garbage truck.
Yeah, so we're in the process of building, or soon to be, hopefully, retrofitting a third garbage truck into a leaf sucker truck. Right now we have two leaf sucker trucks, and I'm hopeful that by fall this year we'll have a third one. March of last year, due to the availability of a used garbage truck at the city of DePierre, the village board approved the purchase of their used garbage truck to take place this year at a cost of $25,000. We haven't yet picked that truck up. We intend to in February. Before we do that, we'll do a final inspection. We need to buy an ODB unit, a leaf vacuum system, to install on the truck. That wasn't approved, and need for this item. We have received a quote from McQueen Equipment that was in your packet in the amount of $54,348 for this leaf sucker unit. We had purchased the same unit from them last year for the second truck that we built. At the same price, they're holding their price. Last year, I went out with a advertisement for quotes and found that these dealerships are territorial. They're the only dealership that sells this unit, particular unit. We had sent them out all over the Midwest, and we were told we were only going to get one. But I said, you know what? We're going to try. We just got one. So I'm not going to do that, waste my time and do that again. So here's the price. Here's the quote. I guess I'm looking for a motion to move ahead with the purchase of the ODB leaf vacuum unit.
Do we have a motion to approve?
Make a motion to recommend to the village board that we purchase one for that price.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that. This is Ted.
All right, any further discussion? All right, hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion passes. Discussion, 2020 water leak detection results.
Well, last year we had, like we've done in previous years, we had completed a leak detection survey of our water main. We have Roughly speaking, 64 miles of water main. Last year, we had hired Utility Services Associates at a cost of approximately $8,400. They go out and listen to our water main. They have listening equipment that can amplify the noise in the system, and from that, they can pinpoint leaks. In total, I found, the report's in your packet. 10 leaks. We have since gone out and corrected, addressed those leaks. If these leaks would have gone unchecked for a year, we would have had a water loss in the cost of roughly $20,000. So this activity would definitely pay for itself. So. Any questions on this?
Hey, Sean, just for fun, when we went out to repair these leaks, we did find a leak indeed at every site that they quoted?
Typically, yes. looking at, and it might, Brad has on the screen, I don't know if you can see it, it sounds like you're on the road, but an executive summary of what they found. It was kind of strange that they found, and Mike would know better than I would, Mike Waterforman, he'd explain this better than I would, but they found 8 leaks at hydrants. We have some older hydrants in our system, and they all have been addressed and issue resolved. But what had happened is when we go and flush our hydrants, when we close them, if there's some debris that gets in the valve seat, they don't properly seal, and they can leak. At the bottom of these hydrants are drain ports, and it allows the water out so that in the winter these hydrants don't freeze and break. So we have since gone out and cleaned out those valve seats and do that by flushing the hydrant again, and then you shut it. The leaks that we found at the service corps, we physically went out and had to excavate to correct those. They can get us pretty close, and most of the time we're digging.
Thanks for the clarification. I was surprised that the majority of the leaks found after, what did you say, 84 miles, 64 miles?
64 miles.
The majority were, 64 miles, and the majority were just in hydrants. It's interesting.
Yeah, you know what? In years past, we've found more. You know, it's not perfect, but it's definitely worthwhile. I'm sure they missed a few. But we year after year, we'll continue to do this to find them. So that we can prevent water loss and save money.
What's the cost of doing this?
$8,400. Yeah. And this year, I've already been in touch with the city of De Pere and Bellevue. We're going to, years past, we've always jointly bid this work to get good pricing. We're going to do the same this year.
We had a net 12, give or take, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. So 3 million or 3.4 million gallons.
Yeah. If that leak were to go out for a year, yeah, that's what they estimate.
Holy, that's a lot of water. Yeah. Well, good job on that.
Well, I let the water department know that they do a lot of upfront work. They provide the contractor with a lot of information up front, system maps, so that when they get here, they hit the road running.
That's good.
Any further discussion on this item? Next is Riverside Drive Resurfacing Project.
I was just made aware of a project on Riverside Drive. I wanted just to provide you guys the information. Just recently had been requested to provide the DOT our utility facility utility mapping for a project that they're planning on Highway 57 Riverside Drive. The project limits are from one end of the village to the other. From the south to the north limits of the village of Valway. That's a resurfacing project. We're proposing to mill 2 inches and pave 2 inches. They would update non-compliant ADA curb ramps. They would remove and replace defective sidewalk and curb and gutter. Projects proposed for 2026. With a duration of roughly 2 to 3 months. They're just starting the process. Usually starts with utility coordination. When they have provided me 60% plans, we'll look to see what type of improvements we should be making when the road is under temporary traffic control. We may go out there and remove or replace a faulty valve or remove and replace a manhole, or maybe a spot repair to a pipe. They're hopeful to get another 10, 12 years out of this maintenance activity. That would put the road at, before they even consider reconstruct, at 2026, 2038, 2040. I was told today they really have no plans in the near future to reconstruct Riverside Drive.
In the original, it had been scheduled for like this past year or this year, 2021 or 20?
Something like that, yeah.
The reconstruction of the
Total reconstruction.
Total redo, right? Yeah. Well, the resurfacing seems to have, you know, solved a lot of the issues, the roller coaster of spring especially.
That's what he said, yeah. It's the maintenance that
they're doing. Remind me, guys, that resurfaced, that last, yep. Can you hear me?
Sorry.
Yeah. Can you remind me, when did we do that last resurface project? Is that 5 years ago?
2016. Brad, correct me if I'm wrong, but 2016?
That sounds right.
Okay, thanks.
No, it doesn't seem that long ago.
No.
Yeah, to answer your question about that washboard, you know, thing that was going on the roadway, the maintenance that they did, a little bit unique in 2016, they went out and milled 2.5 inches or 2 inches, and then they put down a seal coat. Before they paved, after they milled, they put down a seal coat, and that acted as a buffer, so to speak. That worked well, and they're proposing to do the same thing. What did he call it? A Texas underseal. It's the first time I've heard of that, but they mill off 2 to 2.5 inches, they put down a, what I'll call a seal coat, and they pave on top of it.
Yeah.
Whatever worked.
Yeah.
And of course, we didn't get the either sidewalks, bike lanes, lighting, blah, 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 all the other stuff. So.
Crossing?
Any of it.
Good point. Well, and I should tell you, the letter I got, when I read it, it said turn lanes and signals at Alloway Avenue intersection and new signals at State Trunk Highway 172 interchange. I said, is that, you know, that was news to me because I do talk to Andy once in a while, and I didn't think that they were warranted for safety reasons, at least the lights at the Alloway Riverside intersection. And he said, yeah, that, no, I have no plan to install signals at that intersection, Alloway Ave and Riverside Drive, that right now that it's not warranted for safety reasons.
Tell him try to turn left there at like 5 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Or walk your child across the street to get to the bike path.
Yeah. Have they talked any more about safe crossing? Or are they just not even an issue?
I know Brad and I and Trevor had been working on that, and we had met with that had been brought to this committee. We had working with them to try to determine how best to cross Riverside Drive, and we had identified a couple, two or three crossing locations, and I think ultimately that it's going to be somewhat dependent upon the redevelopment along Riverside Drive, right, Brad?
I think, yeah, that's probably the safest bet. It's if we can get some redevelopment, would be the opportune time.
Because if we can even get one near St. Joe's, where all that's going to go on,
mm-hmm.
It'd be great. We're hopeful that a developer will give us 15 feet so we can put a trail through.
Yeah, speaking of that, I don't know if anybody noticed the property owner of the old Eves building have now put up signage, permanent signage, saying no trail you know, basically no trail trespassers allowed on their property behind the building right up to the trail. And I don't know if there were problems or what.
My guess is their insurance carrier probably told them to put some signage up.
Oh, kind of like the old Nielsen?
Yeah.
Property too? Okay.
That'd be my guess.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked. I was like, what? Well,
from this neck of the woods, people tend to go down St. Joe's, okay, take the chances getting across Riverside, and they do go down through Eve.
Yeah, so now it says, you know, you're not supposed to, but I don't know if they're going to enforce it at all. Maybe the signs are enough for their liability.
I can ask Trevor to reach out to Brent Watzka, who owns the building, just to see what he has to say.
That'd be great.
That's where I go through.
Oh, do you? Okay. Did you notice the signs?
No, I haven't been biking recently.
Okay. Hey, today would have been great, you know.
Oh, it was gorgeous and sunny.
Yeah, it was. Took a while to realize what that was, but then I realized it was the sun.
I was in the basement all day. I had no idea what happened. It was dark when I left.
All right. Any further discussion on Riverside? All right. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
Dead. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, stand adjourned.
All righty.
Thanks, y'all.